Our Lord. Amen. Let us now hear the word of God. We're going to turn first of all to the book of Colossians, and then we are going to turn to the Gospel of Luke. But first of all, we turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, and we will read together in these moments the first 14 verses of this chapter. I'll read them out loud. You'll follow reading from the page as I read. Colossians chapter 1. Page 1183, but of course there's no page number on that page because it's a title page for this book of Scripture. Let us hear the Lord speaking to us by, through, and from this word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you've heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We want to turn back now in the Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, and we want to turn to the 11th chapter and the 14th verse of the chapter. If you're using the church Bibles, you should find this on page 1047. 1047. Let us hear this portion of God's word. Now he, that is the Lord Jesus, now he was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, And the people marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons." While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided house falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come to you." When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Psalms are interesting, aren't they? They're certainly the hymn book that God's given his church. And when you reflect on the fact of what we've just been singing, our delight in God's law, it presents us with a challenge, doesn't it? Do we actually do what God wants us to do? Let's pray together. Father, how we thank you for your word. And Lord, how we thank you afresh that your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Lord, we freely admit that in life we sometimes find ourselves, frequently find ourselves perplexed, wondering what to do, how to live. Lord, how we rejoice that your word shows us the solid ground upon which we can put our feet. And how we rejoice that it charts before us that way that leads to glory, to everlasting bliss in your presence. Oh Lord, bless us now as we meditate upon your word, we plead. For we ask in the name that's above every name, even the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Well, a few weeks ago, we were in the book of Philemon. And we know that Philemon lived in the city of Colossae. And we know that Philemon in that city shared with other Christians. In fact, they met in his house. Well, we're going to continue with considerations of what was happening in the city of Colossae. In the days of the Apostle Paul, a declining city. A city that was previously, at least, on a very important trade route, east to west. in particular. But it had been overshadowed by nearby places like Laodicea that had prospered. And so it was a city, as they sometimes say, that had seen better days from the point of view of material prosperity. It was an interesting place because, as a city on a trade route, lots of all of different types of people gathered in that place. And it had been greatly influenced in more recent years by Greek culture and Roman culture. Of course, at the time when Paul is writing, it's part of the Roman Empire. So that's the most recent influence that has come to the peoples living there. Colossae, let me remind you, is in the Lycus Valley, in sort of south central Turkey, as we would call it today, part of the Roman province of Asia. And it was a city in which Antiochus III, we're told by Josephus, had organized for a good few thousand in that city and roundabout Jews to be brought from Babylon and to settle there. So that will tell you and me that it was a city where there were pagan influences as well as influences that came from people who were descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that helps explain some of the difficulties that Paul had to address when he wrote this letter to the Christians in Colossae. As far as we know, he didn't visit the city. And as we saw from our opening reading, the first 14 verses of chapter 1, Epaphras was an important character associated with that city. Indeed, he can be described as the man whom God used to help to found a church in the city of Colossae. But it's a church that's now facing difficulties. And that's why Paul writes this letter. Now we're going to find those difficulties as we work our way through, God willing. But this morning we're going to concentrate on how he opens up the letter. And you will readily recognize that he opens the letter in ways quite similar to how he opens other letters, like his letter to the Ephesian Christians, for example. He makes reference to himself and he makes reference to them. So here he speaks of himself and he speaks of the Christians in Colossae. Now there are certain words that we want to draw out and focus upon from the opening two verses of this chapter. The first word we want to focus upon is the word apostle. The second word we want to focus upon is the word saints. And the third word we want to focus upon is the word brother or brothers. In verse 1, it's in the singular because it refers to Timothy. In verse 2, it's in the plural because it refers to more than Timothy. Now, these are key words in the opening part of this letter. They are words that describe Christians. An apostle, a saint, a brother or sister. Key words. Now, distinctions can be made, and we're going to mention some of those as we progress. But what I want you to grasp is that here we're reminded that believers are sent, because that's what the word apostle speaks of. that believers are called to be separate, because that's what the word saint speaks of. And believers are called to enjoy fellowship together, because that's what the word brother or brothers, or better still, brethren, speaks of. Now, as well as seeing three titles that can be applied to Christians, we also see names. And the most obvious first name is Paul, the writer of the letter. The next name that we come across is Timothy. And then we come across the saints and brothers in Colossae. But we haven't mentioned all the names that are used in the opening two verses of this portion of Scripture. Because twice over, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is used. Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Now, in one sense, all that Paul says in this letter is summed up here in these opening verses. Let me try and explain. We want to think first of all about Paul. Who was Paul? How does he describe himself here in verse 1? Well, yes, the first thing we obviously notice, he gives his name. People have names. We are individually. You, as an individual, are known by a name or names. If somebody said, George Curry, I reckon that most of you, once you've recovered from hearing the name, would think of me. And you may have pleasant thoughts or unpleasant thoughts. I would hope that they're loving and caring and supportive thoughts, but I can't guarantee that by any means whatsoever. But you associate a person with a name. And when you hear a name, you think of the person. And so here is Paul, who used to be known as Saul of Tarsus, who is writing to these people in Colossae. They've heard of Paul. He's not having to introduce himself. He's just saying, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Doesn't say any more about himself. That's it. He doesn't say, you don't know me. He doesn't say, you know that I've never visited Colossae. He just says, my name's Paul. And they know who is being spoken of, especially when he qualifies his name. You see, we, when we hear a name, we find ourselves often saying, what does that person do? We associate people with responsibilities, jobs, tasks. Somebody may be a full-time mother. The high calling of motherhood is never, ever to be undervalued, but always prized. And we must thank God for mothers. And we'll have an opportunity for focusing on such next week, Mothering Sunday. Paul, how does he describe himself? He doesn't say, I'm an engineer. He doesn't say here, I'm a tent maker. He was a tent maker. He could make tents. But he doesn't say, I'm a tent maker. He doesn't say, I was born in Tarsus. He doesn't say, I was a persecutor of Christians. He doesn't say, I was converted on the road to Damascus. He says, I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm an individual, that is, who has been sent. Now, the word apostle can be understood in a number of ways. You can, understand the term very generally and say, oh, this is a term that speaks of somebody being sent, a messenger, a sent one. And that's right, because that's what apostolos was, a messenger, a sent one. But then you can think in terms of Christians who are sent. And that's true, we are. We're all called to be disciples of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He's the one that we're following. But as we follow him, we hear his call to go and to tell others of him. Some of us who were in Wooler last night were informed that Leith Samuel, who came from a Jewish background, his daughter was with us last night. He became a believer in Jesus the Messiah. When he went to a petrol garage, would talk to the attendant who filled the car with petrol, because that's the way it used to happen. It wasn't self-service many years ago as it is today. You drove up into a garage and somebody would come and fill up your car with whatever you wanted put into it. And he always talked to them. And he always talked to the people about Jesus, because he knew he was sent to tell others about the Saviour. And that's true for you and me as well. And we have to find the most natural way that we can possibly find to share the good news of God's amazing grace and love to us in Jesus Christ, the Saviour. But you can be even more specific concerning the word apostle, because we know that there were 12 who were called to be his apostles. We know one was a betrayer, and we know that he was replaced. But we also know that the apostle Paul was called to be numbered with the Peters and the Jameses and the Johns of this world. That group of men that God set aside in those days to oversee the emergence of the church from its old covenant form into its new covenant form. And Paul was such a man. And so when he says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, he is in effect saying to these people, you know that I am a person who has been invested with authority to help with others to oversee the well-being of churches belonging to our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, there's something else that he also says, qualifying this term. And it's so easy to skip over this, but my friends, it's of fundamental importance. You see, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. So right at the beginning of this letter, he is inviting those in Colossae in the church who will receive this letter, who will hear it read out to them, perhaps more than once, we would hope so. I hope it's a letter that you read often. He's reminding them that our focus must first and foremost be on God and his will. It's not my will, it's his will that matters. That's always to be our prayer. And we're always to be saying to ourselves, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And the Apostle Paul had come to see that the will of God for him, it had been made abundantly clear to him, how? By the Lord Jesus Christ himself on the road to Damascus. Because the Savior said, why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you going against Me. I'm the one that you are persecuting. But God doesn't want you to be a persecutor of believers anymore. He wants you to be a teacher and preacher, one who goes and shares the good news of Jesus Christ with others around about. That's the will of God for Paul, to travel far and wide, to travel across Israel, across Jerusalem and Judah, across Galilee and other areas, and then on into the other nations. And he did. And he gave himself to the work that the Lord called him to undertake. By the will of God, he was a sent one in Christ Jesus. Yes, he had come to be united to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the will of God, that men and women and boys and girls should seek to be united to the Lord Jesus Christ. How is a person united to the Lord Jesus Christ? Not by their works, not by their religious activities, but by faith. By faith alone. That is the only way you and I can ever be united to Jesus Christ. And those who have faith, those who are trusting on him, those who are relying on him, those who are looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for him to forgive them their sins and to reassure them that they are God's children, that they have a title to heaven. Those who are resting on Christ know that they're in the will of God and that they are sent ones to share his good news with others. We may not be apostles with a capital A. We certainly are not. There are none like that today. But we are those who belong to Jesus Christ, and we are called to be his messengers. We are called to be apostles with a small a. We are called to go into the world and to inform men and women and boys and girls that there's a most glorious, a most wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to tell people, help people see. You don't need to look elsewhere. You don't need to do things to get right with God. You just need to trust in the one who's done everything necessary for the salvation of sinners, just like you and me. Now, the second thing we want to note is that Paul wasn't alone. And this comes across in these other two terms that we have. The term brother or brothers in the plural and the term saints. Let's deal with the term brother, brothers first. Now, in the singular, it does refer to a man when it is in the masculine. But when it's in the plural, it's an inclusive term. Now, obviously, it refers to Timothy in chapter 1, verse 1, where we're told that it's Timothy, our brother, who is also with Paul and who is associated with this letter that Paul is writing to the Christians in Colossae. So there, it's quite obviously Timothy, our brother. It isn't Timothy, our sister. Timothy is a man, and therefore he's a brother. But when we come to verse 2, we notice that he moves from the singular to the plural. As we shall see in a moment, the word saints is plural, but so too is the word brothers. And now I know we live in a day when people will say, oh, well, that leaves the ladies out. No, it does not. In Greek, it never has done. It's an inclusive term. And it used to be an inclusive term in English. And in English, what we tend to use if we want the more inclusive term is the term brethren. But we seem today to be those, because I presume of the feminist movement, etc., we seem to be a bit frightened if we don't say brothers and sisters. Or even now, we've got people who want to say it the other way around, sisters and brothers, which always seems to sort of jar a little bit, because most people begin by putting those words which begin with letters higher up the alphabet first. Well, B is the second letter of the alphabet, and S is well down in the order of letters from 1 to 26. I'm only talking about an order there. I am not belittling ladies at all. Where would we be without our sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the answer is ultimately nowhere. But we don't often recognize that. But here is the Apostle Paul recognizing that there in Colossae, there were brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Because you see, he qualifies the term there, doesn't he? With the words, in Christ. To the saints and faithful brothers, in Christ. So as Paul is an apostle in Christ, by the will of God, so Paul knows that every single believer is in Christ by the will of God. In fact, if you're not in Christ, you're not a believer. That's why you can test whether you're a believer. Because all you need to do is you need to ask yourself, do I know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I know his love poured into my heart by his Spirit? Do I know that I belong to him? Do I know that I'm united with him? Believers come to know these things, and believers come to be reassured of these things. And that's why believers can stand and remain standing in the face of pressures and difficulties and even outright persecution, where the intention is to kill, because we love the Saviour. But the believer will say, you can't take Jesus away from me. I'm united to him. Kill my body and I go straight away to be with him in glory. Because death will not separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But the point I'm wanting to stress is that Paul knows he's not alone. He knows he belongs to the family of God. And he knows that the family of God, the children of God, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, are to function together here on earth as just that, the family of God. Now, what are they called to do? Well, look at the terms that are used here. What word comes just before the word brothers in verse 2? The answer, my friends, is the word faithful. That's exactly what we are called to be. Faithful brothers in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Our responsibility is to walk with the Lord in the light of his word. Our responsibility is to prize his word. Our responsibility is to love his word. Our responsibility is to seek to know his word better and better and better. Our responsibility is to let, as he says in this very book of scripture, the word of God dwell in us richly. And our responsibility is to live according to that word in the power of the Spirit of the living God. That's why Christians read the Bible, or have it read to them if they can't read. That's why Christians gather together to study the Bible, because they know that their responsibility is to be faithful to the Lord Jesus. And do you know, my friends, God has promised his special blessing when his people come together. If you read through the book of Leviticus, where you read of all the sacrifices that they were to have in ancient times, you will come to a chapter where there is mention of the festivals that they were to celebrate, and it includes the weekly day of prayer. And what is the emphasis on? The emphasis is on, my friends, that it is a day of convocation. That's the word that's used. We don't translate that word congregation, but convocation, a calling together. God calls his people on the Sabbath, on the Lord's Day, to be together. And God has promised that where two or three, or 20 or 30, but at least two or three are gathered together, where there's more than one, there he is in the midst to bless them. And so if we opt out, we're opting out a blessing. It's as simple as that. But we often don't see it that way. We think, well, I'll just do it my way. I'm happier this way. I'm more content this way. Oh, my friends, we're to be faithful. We're to be faithful. Look, if I'm saying anything that is contrary to the word of God, put me right. I don't want you to believe anything from my lips that isn't true to the word of God. Not one word that I say, if it is not true to the word of God, don't believe it. And out of love, come and tell me where I'm wrong. Because if you truly love me, you'll come and tell me where I'm wrong. Brothers are to dwell together in harmony and unity. Psalm 133 underlines that, but so does the rest of Scripture. And the final term that is mentioned here is the word saints. To the saints. What's he saying? What does that word mean? Sadly, there are some people who think that that term just applies to special people. To great teachers, for example, in the church in days of old. People like Saint Augustine. People like Saint Athanasius. And so forth. Well, I don't have any problem in regarding Augustine or Athanasius as a saint. But you're just as much a saint as them, if you're united to Jesus Christ. Because what is a saint in the Bible? A saint is a special person, yes, but what makes that person special? What makes them special is that they have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and they have been separated from the peoples of the world to belong to the Saviour. And that's why the Scriptures describe Christians, God's people, as a holy people, a separated people. There's a distinction to be made between the believer and the unbeliever, between unbelievers on one hand and believers on the other hand. The believers are the separated ones, the ones who have been called out from living as most people, all people do, naturally speaking, in the world, to love the Lord, to serve the Lord. There's a distinction between them. And the saints are those who've been called and have heard the call, have responded to the call with repentance and faith, and are now numbered amongst those who belong to the Lord. They're separated from the rest of mankind, as it were. But they have a special calling. Yes, they're special, and yes, they're separated. And the special calling is to be holy as their Father in heaven is holy. So yours and my responsibility day by day is not to wake up in the morning and once we've woken up, if we're slow wakers or if we're sharp straight away when we wake up, our responsibility isn't to sit and think, well, what shall I do today? Where shall I go? What film shall I watch? Or what book shall I read? Now, we can ask those questions. I'm not doubting that for one moment. Our first responsibility should be to say, well, thank you, Lord, for this new day. What do you want me to do today? Because I know I must redeem the time. I must buy it up and I must use it wisely. That's what the Apostle Paul taught the Christians in Ephesus. Buy it up and use it wisely. He uses the language of the marketplace to describe how you and I are to use our time. We're to trade it well. So it's to be lived for the Lord. And that's true in our homes. There, as a husband, as a wife, I live as the Lord would want me to live. There, in the home, as a child, I live as the Lord wants me to live. And at church, I do the same. I do what the Lord wants me to do. And in the world, I do what the Lord would call me to do. So here is Paul introducing this letter. And he uses various titles and he mentions people. Of course, he mentions himself and he mentions Timothy and he mentions the saints and brothers in Colossae. And he reminds himself and them that we're a sent people and we are a people who are to share together, support each other, love each other, care for each other, encourage each other to love and to good works as believers in Christ. And we are to be those who live as saints, separated from the ways of the world, living for the Saviour, living to his praise and honour and glory each day. Let's pray. Father, we pray for your blessing upon us as we continue to meditate upon your word. Help and aid us, Lord, to be those who walk humbly and obediently with you and who love you sincerely from the heart and who function as sent ones and as saints in the world, sharing one with another to the praise and honour of your glory. Amen.